general, we, if living on this earth as a Christian, as a believer, all Christians who are in existence right now have been justified, meaning they've been declared to be not guilty before God, and therefore right before God, and therefore declared righteous before God, because we were clothed in Jesus' righteous clothes, because he took our penalty, he died our death, he paid our debt. And in exchange for that, he gave us his righteousness, because Jesus was without sin, period.
Amen.
And so he clothed us in that. Okay, so now once we're righteous, once we've been made righteous, justified, then we talk about this process of sanctification. This process of sanctification is a rough process if you're truly born again and wanting to live right before God. This is a rough process. They're just the struggles. There are days that you just don't feel holy. Sort of can. You know, that's the best way I can put it. Because in our own, Ms. Glenda dropped the head and raised her hand. Like, I'm feeling that one. Because I'm feeling that right with you. Just some days you just don't feel holy. You don't feel sanctified. You don't feel even almost like a Christian, depending on how you're feeling. And we have to fight those feelings. We got to deal with them, and we got to fight them. There's a couple of ways to look at that. As I was going through that feeling this morning, you look at it as a temptation that the Lord is allowing you to go through, a test, trial, temptation he's allowing you to go through. Or you can look, you can look at it as maybe you've been a little worldly in their thought life and speech life that week or that for a period, and you don't feel it, and that's caused you not to feel as holy. So when you feel in some type of way during this sanctification walk, what it should force us to do is to examine ourselves closely and more carefully. Because regardless of the root of the test or trial, that's at the root of how you're feeling, the solution is the same in a sense. We got to look unto him.
Amen.
The author and finisher of our faith. We got to look unto him. Lord, what's going on? I'm feeling real crazy right now. Remember, that was a great revelation, great gold nugget. When sin hit, it knocked out our ability to even understand ourselves. That's huge. So we don't understand why we do what we do. We don't understand why this causes a rise in our emotions and why this one we don't have any emotions. We don't understand about motivations, about intentions. Because sin knocked that out or greatly damaged it. I don't know if I've ever told the Lord how much I needed him in this, probably in this last year, and then even more in the last few months, and even more in the last few weeks, and even more in the last few days. What the beautiful thing about maturing in Christ Jesus is realizing how weak we really are. Amen. In Christ Jesus. Miss April took out a big sigh. Because the more you realize how weak you really are, then guess what is going to happen? His strength is going to be made what? Perfect. Amen. In that weakness.
Yes.
The more you realize, I can't do it. I cannot live this life without you. I cannot live this life apart from your help, your counsel, your guidance, your coaching, your teaching, your instruction, your rebuking, your reproving, your warnings. I cannot live this life.
Amen.
I ain't even embarrassed, even to tell you that it took many years to get to that point. Thank God I got there.
Amen.
I cannot live this life. It is way too difficult. It is way beyond me. There's too much crazy out there. That's visual, auditory, that you're hearing and seeing that is affecting your thoughts, speech, and actions. Every single day, all day, every day. And some days our struggle, there's more struggles than other days. And I guess I'm encouraged to talk to you to just encourage us, me too, that, you know, there are days I struggle mentally, I struggle, you know, emotionally. Just don't understand it. Have no idea why am I feeling the way I'm feeling today. I want to encourage you that when you feel those ways, talk to them even more
on
that day. Because when you're feeling some type of way, you're more likely, and if you don't get a hold of it, you're more likely to say something that's out of order and do something that's out of order. That's not out of order means it's ungodly and does not bring him glory. Relish his being a helper.
Amen.
Relish him telling us in Hebrews 13 that the Lord is my helper. We may boldly say that.
Yes, Lord.
Then boldly say it.
Amen.
Lord, I need help. You're my helper. Thank you for helping me.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
He will help you every single time. I'm a living witness. He will help you every single time.
Amen.
So no matter how crazy you feeling, no matter how odd you've awkward and all this and that, to us it's a riddle, it's a mystery, it's a riddle wrapped in a mystery surrounded by an enigma. Totally confusing. And it's a complex knot to us to untie. But with God, all things are possible.
Hallelujah.
It's no big deal to him. Said, I got you.
Yes.
He just wants us to seek him.
Yes.
One of the worst things you can do is when you're feeling all kind of way, and don't know why you're feeling all kind of way, is to try to go about your day trying to figure it out yourself and doing it in your own strength. You can best believe you're headed for a bad day.
Amen.
You're headed toward the danger zone. I thank God. No desire to even want to even begin to try to figure this out on my own. I have no desire.
Amen.
I did that. I done sang that tune for about 45, 50 years. Time to sing a new tune. And that is His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We finished up the holiness of God last week. And I don't know if you remember many, many moons ago what we were teaching on. If anybody could tell me, you'll win a prize or the other side of Easter. Anybody remember what we were teaching on before we started Holiness of God? Yeah, that's it. Very good. You win the prize. Yes, we were teaching on a series of achieving an alien mentality. And one of the things that we're to do as aliens is we are to live holy.
Amen.
When we got to that point, be ye holy as I am holy. And so the Lord then took that part of the sermon, of the messages there, and went into the holiness of God, where we stayed on for a few months. Now we're going to come back and finish up achieving an alien mentality in Jesus' name. And so we're going to kind of review. Remember the word alien is called alongside the house. And if I can just give you a visual, so if you got a house here, so you have a house, and So the house is the building, and then here we are alongside the house. We're not in the house. We're alongside the house. Those that are living in the house are the sinners, the godless, those who do not know God. And therefore, their way of thinking, speaking, and doing is different from ours. Now, what this represents, this Holy Spirit chosen word for alien, which just means alongside the house, what this shows is that we have to be in the world. We have to be in the world, but not of the world. So notice, we're alongside the house, but there's the houses that are there, and we're alongside. We're not all off somewhere by ourselves. Apostle Paul says that. You know, if you want to get away from folks, you got to go out of the world. But Jesus, you're the light of the world. City set on hills cannot be hid. So we're right moving in, we're moving in and among and in the midst of darkness, sin, sinners, but we're not in, we're not of this here. Meaning our thoughts are different from theirs, our speaking is different from theirs, and our living is different from theirs. I know you know this, it's ice Eskimos, but just to give you a visual. The house is there, the folks are in there, we're alongside of it. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. The disappointment is that too many Christians or so-called Christians migrate to going into the house. And then that's a problem. Because then our thoughts begin to match up with theirs, and our speaking matches with theirs, and our living matches up with theirs. And therefore, we're no longer alien. We're no longer foreign. We're no longer strange. Why? Because we're matching up. Alongside the house, holy living is foreign living. Holy speaking is alien, foreign speaking. Holy thinking, godly thinking, biblical thinking is foreign, alien, weird, peculiar. Just as it's supposed to be. So we are alongside the house and not in the house. And we use some of the words foreign, alien, refugee. I don't know if someone else, I don't have the notes in front of me. Anybody got, foreign, alien, refugee.
Stranger.
Sojourner. Meaning just passing through. That's a real good word, sojourner. We're really on a pilgrimage. We're just passing through. And we need to keep reminding ourselves of that. We're alongside the house. So we went over all of that, and we stopped at how are we to think as aliens. We went over that too, but I want to start the review or continue the review at this point. As aliens, how are we to think? What is the mindset of an alien? What ought to be the attitude of an alien? First of all, remember that aliens, foreigners, strangers, we are instructed by the Word of God. Meaning we're taught by the Word of God. We are controlled by the Word of God. We live by the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. We live, we're taught, we're instructed, and we're controlled by the Word of God. So as a result of all of that happening, then our minds, our worldview, our perspectives are shaped in a way that is completely and distinctly different, foreign to, contradictory, opposite, any, all those words, to that of the world's.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, sir.
That's why we're foreign. I'm going to say that again. Because we are instructed by the Word of God, taught by the Word of God, controlled by the Word of God, live by the Word of God,
then our thinking, our worldview, our perspective of how we see and interpret the world around us is completely different, foreign, opposite, and irreconcilably different from that of the one inside the house. Meaning that how I believe cannot be reconciled with how you believe. Cannot be reconciled. That's why it's offensive. We don't apologize in that sense for the offense. In that sense. You follow what I'm saying? That when you're standing on the word of God, that's foreign and it's going to be offensive to those inside the house. It's going to be opposite. In other words, our living, what constitutes our living? Our thinking, speaking, and doing. Our living, thinking, speaking, and doing to the world seems completely, and here it is, foreign, alien, and strange. So, the question that was asked was, how are we to think? Question is, how are we to think? The answer is, we're to think like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to think as God thinks. Can we do that? Certainly. Why? Because we have as a present possession the mind of Christ. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Wow. We have it. Not something that has to happen. Not something that has to, we got to process into or progress toward. We have right now. If you're born again, you have the mind of Christ. So we can think like God. We can think as the Lord Jesus Christ thinks. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. Glory be to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, beginning at verse 6. This is all review, but necessary. Because when this teaching leaves our mind and we're not thinking about it anymore, guess what tends to happen? We can start floating toward that house a little bit. You know what I'm saying? We're standing on the front door knocking, trying to get in, gain entrance. Before you know it, you're inside and you partying down like the rest of them. Like, oh Lord, this dude don't look nothing different than us. You're thinking like, what are? You know, and that's a problem when they slap you on the back and you high-five like, you drinking, you smoking, you cussing, you doing all the things, and you don't look any different. Well, why? Because you're up in there looking like everybody else. He said alongside, meaning you are completely not in that house, and that's clearly different from what you understand. That's I love this, that alongside the house. It's clear you're not in the house. It's clear you're not one of us. You can't be in the house and out of the house at the same time. I mean, that's real simple. But that's true. Either you're in the house or you're out of the house. Holy Spirit knew what he was doing when he chose that word alien through the Apostle Peter.
Amen.
You are distinctly different. Nobody's wondering when you're standing outside the house. I wonder if he's in the house. No, he's standing outside the house. Ain't nobody wondering.
Yeah.
Did you find 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6? He said, yet we do speak wisdom. We, those who are outside the house, those who are foreigners, aliens, strangers, sojourners, refugees, we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. Period.
Yes,
I have told you these teachings that we've taught on that I would have been put out long ago, right after the title. Today, here, I appreciate being invited to this church, Pastor, and thank you. And today we're going to teach on getting rid of the toxic sin of racial hatred. They're going to bend your arm and you can see it right out the door. In a hurry,
Because that is an offensive teaching. But we need to be offended. Am I in the right place?
Yeah.
Time out for the 11th commandment, which does not exist. Thou shalt be nice. And the 12th, thou shalt not offend. You don't ever compromise the truth so that you don't offend someone. You're going to not give the truth? How offensive is that to God? You're going to offend somebody. We speak wisdom among those who are mature, spiritually mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age. No, no, not around here. Not of this society. Not of this overly secular, humanistic reasoning and believing and ideology and philosophy and theory. We don't speak that wisdom. Even though we are still challenged with speaking that wisdom because it's so ingrained in us from day one. The moment we hit the earth, we're hearing basically man wisdom, natural wisdom, wisdom of this age. And that's what's happening. The brainwashing starts right at day one. That's why it's wonderful to have godly parents. If you didn't have it, God blessed us anyway. Because there's so much that goes into that mind day one. So we don't speak wisdom, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, those who are in charge of this age. There is an elite here in America. There is an elite over in Europe that are pulling many strings. We don't speak that wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are passing away. They're death doomed. The rulers of this age are mortal, finite, carnal. You hear what I'm saying? We don't speak that wisdom. Thank God we know that wisdom. We can understand that wisdom, but we don't speak that wisdom. We don't go there. But contrast in conjunction, verse 7, we speak God's wisdom. I love the clear teaching of the word of God. We don't speak this wisdom, comma, but we speak God's wisdom. And he contrasts God's wisdom to the wisdom of this age. Are you seeing that? Word of life. Why do we ever speak the wisdom of this age? Because we've been kind of tricked up, brainwashed, don't realize sometimes we're even speaking and believing this way. Bamboozled. Hoodwinks. Okay, Malcolm. Woo, I can't wait for the men's fellowship. I got something for y'all. Oh, I'm gonna mess it up. I'm gonna take this one. It's gonna be all messed up. Because the Lord is on me about us not yet having the mentality we need to have. We're developing it, but we still got a long way to go. And one of the things he's dealing with me on, this is where we all have been in the house. We're in the house on this here. We still do not see ourselves as believers, Christians, slaves of the Most High God first. We still see ourselves as being black. And I know we do. And that has caused us to have a whole lot of in the house worldview thinking, rather than alien and foreign. Now, there's no denial that there's systemic racism. No denial. There's no denial that there's a lot of unjust policies and practices in place to disadvantage black people. No denial. But however, we still have a mentality that's first black rather and second Christian, meaning when things happen, we think from our blackness rather than from God's holiness. Yeah. Are you listening to me? And that's where we're falling down. That's where we're falling down, me included. That's us. That's where we are falling down. And I'm praying to God to continue to help develop the Christian first mentality. Child of God first mentality. Slave of the Lord Jesus Christ first mentality. And then our blackness. You read through the apostles' letters. First is Apostle Paul, a servant. King James, I told you he wimped out on that. Because, but doulos, a slave. Apostle Paul first identified himself as a slave. And then he went on to his role as an apostle. So the progression that the Lord is showing me how it needs to be is we need to first develop a Christian believer mentality. First. And then blackness. Or your whiteness. Or whatever. Ethnicity, culture. But the ultimate is to not only develop a Christian believer, son of God, daughter of God, child of God mentality, then to migrate that over into being a slave first as a believer and then black. That's a whole nother level. It's one thing just to get to being a believer, but it's another thing to look at yourself as a slave. And that's what Apostle Paul had gotten to, Peter had gotten to. Peter, I'm a slave, not an apostle. I got this, I got out and healed folks, laid the towel over people, and they got alive, and people ran from the dead from my shadow. You know, that was all God. But you know how people get into self.
Yes.
God is choosing to use those methods,
yes,
through Peter's shadow healing people. That was all God, and they know that, and they still refer to themselves as slaves.
Yes.
Sure.
Doulos. That is way mature. That's not a good sentence, but that's way mature when you get to that point. There's a two-part progression that we're praying, Lord, that Lord do that for us. It's helping to develop a Christian mentality, then black, and then on further, a slave, then a Christian, then black. In Jesus' name. You'll find your worldview changing drastically, especially when it comes to quote-unquote black issues or things dealing with black people.
Hey.
And I'm just stopping there. I want to get on the tour, but I want to say that for Adele Falls. We're going to dig into that because our men need to really lead, be the leaders in that and really step forward in that and really go out and teach that. By example, number one, and then through our words. So we're going to talk to the men about that. But we need to be the leaders in that. That transformation that needs to happen by the power of God to us. Because, see, I never heard anything like that until I got the Word of Life. And we need to see ourselves as Christians first and black, as far as I remember. And so you've gone for 40, 50, you know, however many years, you've gone thinking of yourself as being black first and then everything else second. And not realizing that you slipped that sort of thinking in there. What that causes is that you don't see God's way of, you don't see God's perspective. You don't have a biblical perspective first. Eventually, you'll come around to that. But unfortunately, for, you know, for some hours or some days or some weeks or some months or some years, you've meditated on a particular situation and you're like, oh, Lord, I need, that wasn't the right way. Or that wasn't fully correct. So, the wisdom of this age, we are not to speak, but we're to speak God's wisdom. He said, in a mystery, and that is the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. So this wisdom, God had predestined for this wisdom to be hidden from who? Look at verse 8. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. They don't understand it. Kings, monarchs, presidents, governors, senators, House of Representatives, politicians, they don't understand it if they're not Christian. It's a mystery. It was hidden. And I guess I think we need to really look at that, because then why in the world then do you, and I'm not saying we don't, I think we do it unknowingly. I started to say, why in the world would you want to speak wisdom like that? That's not of God, of this age, don't know anything about God. But it's not that we do it on purpose. I like to think that we don't. It's that we're have from habit we do that. We do it unknowingly because he's the most subtle beast of the field. You'll find yourself in a emotionally charged conversation, and because it's dealing with, you know, certain hot button topics, we find ourselves, you know, peeling right in with house talk instead of outside the house talk. And I like to think we do that unknowingly, unwittingly. But Father God, I ask that we remember the verse that says, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Help us to see that coming a mile away, even when we are in a high emotional state.
Amen.
Help us to hear Holy Spirit in it, even in a high emotional state where something's really charged. We're dealing with quote unquote race or ethnicity, people groups. We really get charged in those things. Help us to hear you and follow your guidance and your wisdom in Jesus' name. So this wisdom, God's wisdom, is a mystery. It's hidden from the world. And that mystery, of course, was Jesus dying and us being saved. All that was mysterious. How can a sinner be declared righteous? It's a mystery. What was going to happen? Satan didn't know it. No, he's thinking that if I can get Adam to eat the fruit, then all lineage come through Adam and his seed is going to corrupt the entire human race. And I got the race. This is it. I've destroyed this. But what was the mystery that he did not know? The virgin birth. That I'm going to bypass the man and place the seed in the woman myself. Boy, we ought to shout all year on that.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Didn't understand it. You explain that to rulers of this world who are not saved, it's a mystery to them. It's hidden. They don't understand that. Because first of all, they're not even acknowledge sin. They're trying to promote sin. You go in there talking about sin. Well, me, man, I'm pretty good. You know, my good outweighs my bad. You know, I ain't bad as him. That's all they're going to tell you. They're not going to understand those things. All they know is just natural wisdom. Verse 10. Before to us, God revealed them. What? The facets of his wisdom. He revealed to us foreknowledge, predestination, the effectual call, justification, sanctification, glorification. He revealed that to us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. But sanctification to... it's not going to work out. He revealed them to us. Thank you, Father. Through the Spirit, right? Holy Spirit is the agent that brings the revelation, the understanding of the wisdom of God. Can't be done on our own. We need Holy Spirit. How many need Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hands up. Oh, shit. Thank God for Holy Spirit. Because how many times have we heard something 10 years ago and 10 years later? Oh, that's what it was talking about. Light comes on. It really comes on, too. Like, whoa. Wow. And that's why we need to hear it. Hear it. You can call me the repeating pastor because I'll say things. I will say things 100 times because we need to hear. That's how we're wired. Sin knocked out some things.
Amen.
Because I know it's building. You understand one level down here and another level of the same exact thing and another level of the same exact thing. So Lord, won't you be mentioned again about we're not understanding that we're still thinking of ourselves not as children of God first. And it piggybacks on what the Lord spoke to us at Wednesday. through Sister Orlando about family. God gave us family. God gave us relationships. But he did not expect those relationships and family to overtake the one with him.
Amen.
How are you going to take the gift I gave you and praise the gift and honor the gift more than you do me, the giver of the gift?
Amen.
What does it say with your blackness? God made us black. I don't care what was told us by white folks. That's all. That's demonic too. But God made you black, and therefore everything that God does is good and very good. So it's very good that you're black. But it's nothing to be proud of. Say it loud. Nothing to be proud of because you didn't make yourself black. But it is something to embrace because God made you black, and everything God does is good.
Amen.
So Jesse was right in his day, way back in the day. God didn't make no junk. You're not junk. You're not less than because of the color of your skin.
Amen.
And those who have more pigment than others, meaning you are darker, you're not less than someone who's lighter or someone who's white. Those are lies that have been spread forth by Satan for through white folks and black folks.
And black folks.
My mother, she was light enough down in St. Louis. And I didn't realize, looked in actual, I told you this before, you can look into actual black history and run across the concept of the Blue Vein Club or the Blue Vein Society. Where if you're lighter, you can see the blue of the vein, you could get into their, in that particular case, a sorority. And mother had a friend who was, she was a dark-skinned, beautiful young lady, and they wouldn't let her in. And mother got hot a while. She just was not happy because she wouldn't have nothing to do with that club. But these are all black on black. God made all shades of all black people.
Amen.
And therefore, all shades are good and very good. Why? Because you're black? No, because God did it. So you embrace your blackness. I don't care what anyone has told you. Someone told my niece when she was in elementary, Janae, that you're black like a slave. Well, that person, that little boy or little girl, whoever told her that, heard that from somebody else.
Amen.
That's what I mean about God gave you the gift of blackness. Being black is a gift because it comes from God. It's a gift that ought to be embraced. But the point I'm making is with all of that is that then don't take the blackness and then put it up over your status as a child of God. That's
Amen.
The point I'm making.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
What an insult to God.
Amen.
Father God, help us please to develop this mentality. Change the order of how we think about ourselves.
Amen.
We first belong to you as a slave.
Yes, yes. Yes.
And then black.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. That's going to fix some things. It really is. And we need the Holy Spirit to reveal that to us, don't we?
Amen.
We need him to reveal that so that we can understand that.
Amen.
Verse 10, for God revealed them his wisdom through the Spirit, who is the agent that brings that revelation. For the Spirit searches all things, even the, look at this, the depths of God. Are you reading what I'm reading? Are you kidding me? The Spirit of God searches the depths of God and then reveals part of that to us? Wow. Yes, wow, Mr. Prince is right. That's a wow. Sister Landon prays it often. We looking past all of this juicy thing and stuff that God has done and is doing for us. Looking past all of that for some just trinkets. Houses and cars and all this trinkets compared to these deep riches right here.
Amen.
Man, this folks paying therapists $600 an hour to tell you When your kid act crazy, sit him in the corner with a sucker for 10 minutes. All right, that'll be 600, please. $600 to tell married couples that buy a little teddy bear and put it in the freezer. They'll say, I love you. Put it in the freezer. And when a certain moment happens, break it back out and wave it around or something so you can y'all can renew your... You know what, as the preacher was saying, he said, it's better to be hit with the unfrozen teddy bear. Because as soon as you show her that mess, she's going to throw that thing at you, try to bust inside your head. Make sure your teddy bear is unfrozen. Brought out. Hello? $600, please, for silly stuff like that. I'm saying we're looking past the greatest life coach in the history of all existence is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We don't even value him. At times.
Amen.
At times. As we mature, we will value him more.
Yeah. Amen.
Because I reached the station and realized I'm lost without you.
Absolutely.
Easy to see. That's the whining song back in the day. I'm lost without you. I can't do it.
Nah.
I feel a little Teddy Pendergrass. Can't do it alone. Need some help, y'all. Wake up. Wake up, church. Everybody. You can't do it alone. Amen. And when you understand that, that's a beautiful place to be. Bow down before God saying, I can't do this.
Amen.
Love who? Say what? Do you realize what they just did to me? As if God didn't know. God saw what they did to you back before you ever was born or even thought of it. Yes, he saw what they just did to you. What they just said about you. How they just treated you. Yes, God sees that. And he's saying, look unto me.
Amen.
I'll coach you through this. I'll instruct you through this. I'll lead you through this. I'll guide you through this. I'll walk alongside you through this entire endeavor. And I'll never leave you.
Yes.
I'm going to stay right by your side.
Thank you, Lord.
We don't value that enough. We value it sometimes. Look who's living on inside of us, coaching us. God has revealed this to us through his Spirit. The Spirit who searches all things, even the depths of God. Verse 11, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man, which is from him? Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. That's why it is an impossibility for sinners to have a biblical worldview. It's an impossibility. You understand that?
Yes.
Because they don't have the Holy Spirit revealing the things of God to them.
Amen.
So when you have a biblical worldview and the sinner that you're talking to does not, what you're saying is going to be irreconcilable with what he's saying. It's not going to work, ever. The words of Jacob, Michael, knock, that's not going to work out. And the words of Ryan Nicole, knocks, hello. That's not going to work out. Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. It's impossible for the sinner. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Wowee! Can you see why we're expected to think like God? Look at all what we've been given. The depths of God. We've been given access to the depths of God. Oh, help us to get this. And he gave to us freely. Didn't cost us anything. Us, it didn't cost us anything. It cost Jesus everything. Verse 14, or 13, but things... 13 rather, which things we also speak, what things do we also speak? Verse 12, the things freely given to us by God. Those things that have been freely given to us by God, we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom. Nobody's teaching you this. When I'm telling, and don't get confused, when it says no human has taught you this, he's not talking about what I'm doing. I'm teaching you what God is saying, amen, not my opinion.
Right.
I'm not saying, well, what I think that means, well, I know the word of God says this, but I believe. See, that's human wisdom. I'm simply explaining, expositing God's wisdom. Get confused on that. Verse 13, which things we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. See, I am to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit in speaking to you.
Yes.
So that we're learning from the Holy Spirit through me, yes, not from me.
Amen.
I know you know that, but I just want you to, that's what's happening here. We're being taught right now by the Spirit. Combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. That's what's happening right now. Verse 14. But a natural man, look at this, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. That's why you can't explain that to a sinner. They're not going to get it. Those in the house can't think like those outside the house.
Amen.
It's an impossibility. Why? Verse 14, the folks in the house, they do not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to them. Look at this. And he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised and discerned and judged. Cannot. Cannot. Meaning it is an impossibility. Can you see why we're alien, foreign, or strangers? If that don't set it up, then I don't know what else we are. That's an exclamation point on this.
Amen.
That's why we're foreigners. You can't think like me. You can't understand me. You can't discern. Because whenever I tell you, I, the alien, tell the resident, when I tell you it, it's foolishness to you. Remember a guy came and told me years ago, I'm going to say this, was speaking real close, told me years ago, he said, man, come on, man, Jesus dying on the cross, bro, man, that's crazy. Man, nobody didn't. What's going on with that? Yeah, that's par for the course. That's exactly what you're supposed to say. When you don't know that, that is crazy to you. It was crazy to us.
Hello.
That's right. You doing your thing, you drink, you smoking, you alter to myself, man, Jesus died for us. Man, you want to hear some of this? Don't try to ignore you. Like the words, you didn't even say the words. Because it don't register, it don't resonate. You follow me? It cannot. He cannot. They cannot understand. Folks in the house cannot. That's from the Holy Spirit. It said it cannot. Because their spirits discern, appraise, judge, evaluate it. There's nothing to evaluate because it doesn't make any sense to you.
Amen.
It made no sense to us when we were sinners. Jesus died on the cross. Righteousness, sanctification, justification, those made no sense to us. We out there doing our thing. We was all up under the Isaac Hayes anointing. We just love to do our thing. He said, whatever you do, all you got to do is your thing. That don't make no sense. Just do your thing. If you want to make love all night and you feel it's right, love on. Love on. That's what Isaac Hayes said. That's what we just did our thing. And throw some Nike anointing. Just do it. And that's what we were doing before God saved us.
Amen.
And when we were doing our thing, when we went to the church of Isaac Hayes, and you had the Nike bishop, sent up Bishop Nike up there, we were doing our thing because we felt like it felt good. Do what you feel if it feel real to you. When somebody came talking about Jesus, and you understand what I'm saying, Bishop? That don't make no sense. And you didn't really want to hear. Because that was contrary to what I was doing. We was all up in here living large.
Amen.
Some of us had two or three rooms up in the house. We're getting walls knocked down to enlarge our room up in it. I want to stay here forever. Until God raise our dead spirits. Glory be to God in the highest.
Amen.
From the dead.
Amen.
I know that's redundant. Gave us life.
Yes, you did.
And then we realized, this house, I don't want to be in no more.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Hallelujah.
I don't be in this house no more.
Thank you.
I want out. And we got up out of there. And now we live right outside. Because Lord said, you got to stay here. Why? For me to live is
gain.
Thank you. See, that's how that fits. But to die is gain. We got to stay here. Because, see, and that's one thing. When God saves us, why didn't he just take us on heaven right away? You understand that? The one reason he didn't do that was because we need to be here.
Amen.
Representing him.
Amen.
Spreading the gospel, the good news. Remember, it's through people that he works.
Amen.
He works through people. It was J.R. who played a tape, who gave Miss April a tape. Or was, you know, somebody else who invited, talked to somebody else for a few minutes. Or was somebody else who did. So it was God working through people.
Right.
So we have to be here. For Christ's sake.
Amen.
For his will, his purpose, and his glory. And then we'll get our reward when we hit glorification.
Amen.
That's a big payoff.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Last verse, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? Question mark. But we have right now as a present possession the mind of Christ. That's why we can think spiritually, we can think like God, we can speak like God, and then act like God because we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
That's how and why we're to think like God and his son Jesus. Amen. Because we have the Holy Spirit enabling us to understand the will of God and then to speak these things out. Father God, we're forever grateful. I said we're forever grateful.
Amen.
That the Holy Spirit has revealed these things unto us. We are so glad. But Father, help us to prize and treasure and value and cherish these things, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
You've done so much good. It's just too much, really, that we don't even know the treasure. It's some of these things that are so far over our head, we don't even realize it. And we're still looking for trinkets. Help us to focus what you've already done, which is just massive what you've already done. We don't even know the half of what you've already done. Just reading this scripture right now, it just shows us how little we know and understand what you've already done.
Amen.
Help us. And I know you will, because you said you're our helper.
Amen.
You're our shepherd, protector, provider, and guide. You're on our side. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. You're always with us. Thank you, my Father.
Amen.
Somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.